This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All right, salam alaikum, guys. So we're going to go ahead and start, inshallah ta'ala, with the next juz. So I'll give you guys a minute to get logged on, inshallah. So while you guys are getting logged on, I'll give you guys just a little cool tidbit about Surah Al-A'raf. Edgar Allan Poe, the great American poet, his longest poem was actually called Al-A'raf. So he actually wrote a poem in the 1800s, Al-A'raf, and it's his most famous poem, or his longest poem, not his most famous one. But it's not obviously true to the Qur'an, and per se, it's not a theological poem, but it's pretty interesting that he based his longest poem off of Surah Al-A'raf. So also, just to let you guys know, so we'll go ahead and start, inshallah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi man wala. So the Edgar Allan Poe part was not tafsir, but Surah Al-A'raf is named Surah Al-A'raf. Obviously it refers to that barrier, or this, the heights. Al-A'raf means the heights. It refers to this barrier between the people of hellfire and the people of paradise. And there are a group of people, subhanAllah, that are standing on that barrier on the day of judgment, on an A'raf. And their good deeds and their bad deeds are completely equal. You can imagine, subhanAllah, the value of one hasana, the value of one good deed at that time, they are completely equal. So their good deeds and bad deeds are completely equal. They're standing on Al-A'raf and they're seeing the people of paradise enter into paradise, and they're wishing them well and making dua for them. And they're seeing the people of hellfire and they're making dua that they're not amongst them. And they're condemning the people of hellfire as they're entering into hellfire. And eventually Allah's mercy overtakes them and they enter into paradise. So Al-A'raf is that partition, right? That barrier, because again, it's the consequence now that Allah is mentioning to the rejection of Surah Al-An'am. Where you have the people that have now chosen to go in their directions, and so the people of paradise have entered in their way, and the people of hellfire have entered into their way. So the next juz 9, which is from Surah Al-A'raf, verse 88, to Surah Al-Anfal, verse 40. So we're going to have two surahs also covered, partially within juz 9. Verse 88, Surah Al-A'raf, to Surah Al-Anfal, verse 40. There's a very powerful verse that comes pretty much in the beginning of this juz. If you remember in the previous surah, in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَ فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-An'am, the previous surah, that whenever they insisted on turning away from the guidance that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah mentions, we opened for them every door of good that they wanted in this world. So this is actually talking about the worldly consequence here, that we gave them what they wanted of this world. They were able to enjoy the wealth of this world and enjoy, the different blessings of this world. Hatta idha farihu bima utu, but then once they became too excited and overjoyed with what they had, either those things lost luster with them, so they realized that those things were not fulfilling, that living in that lust was not actually going to give them what they wanted, or أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَ, they were taken by death, فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ, and left in complete despair. That's in Surah Al-An'am. In Surah Al-A'raf, verse 96, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَتَقُوا. Remember, this is talking about the post now, right? This is consequence and circumstance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if only the people of the cities, these various towns that disobeyed their prophets and disbelieved in their prophets, had they believed and feared their Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We would have given them barakah, we would have given them blessings from the heavens and from the earth. But instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, instead they refused, and so they were seized. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, as a result of that which they earned. So it's like, subhanAllah, it's completely connected to the previous verse. The only word that's been added is barakah. that there would have been blessing in their wealth, there would have been blessing in their health, there would have been blessing in their career pursuits, blessings falling upon them from the skies, blessing in their crops, and so on and so forth. But instead, because they insisted on turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they insisted upon that path of misguidance, they had no blessing in anything that was opened, any door that was opened to them in this dunya. So this is Surah Al-A'raf and Surah Al-An'am. Within just these two verses, we can see how these surahs are actually very closely related to one another. In verse 101, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tilka al-qura, that these are the cities, all of these different towns and cities that turned away from their prophets. Naqussu alayka min anba'iha. And we relate these to you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We relate these stories to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so that you can know of their news and the things that happened to them. And basically that their prophets, their messengers came to them with proofs. They came to them with everything that you're coming to them with now. فَمَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا. And they would not be able to believe because بِمَا كَذَّبُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ. They were not to believe in that which they had denied before. كَذَلِكَ يَطْبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals the hearts of those who reject. So the idea here is that they've turned away. No matter what proofs are being sent to them now, they're turning away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look at all of these cities and these examples that I've just given you, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is how the hearts are sealed. When they insist upon turning away from God, this is how the hearts are sealed. However, there's always targhib and tarhib. There's always good news and bad news. There's always hope and fear, and they come together. The next part of the surah, of Surah Al-A'raf, actually transitions to the story of Musa and Fir'aun. But particularly Musa alayhi salam with the magicians that would believe in him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the story of Moses, peace be upon him, with the staff, and the magicians of Pharaoh, the Sahara of Fir'aun, and their staffs, right? And each of them coming together for this long bout in which they would be told to cast their staffs. And this was something that would in the eyes of Fir'aun, that would crush the da'wah of Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just told Musa alayhi salam to go forth and do what you're told, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make something great happen of it. So what happens with Musa alayhi salam is he comes to this gathering with the magicians of Fir'aun, with the Sahara of Fir'aun. And we know the story that the Sahara of Fir'aun, the magicians of Pharaoh, throw their staffs first, and all of those staffs become snakes in the form of an optical illusion. So they all appear to be snakes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Musa alayhi salam to throw his staff. And when Musa alayhi salam throws his staff, it becomes a snake and it eats all of their snakes. So what happens? All of the magicians of Fir'aun believe in Musa alayhi salam. They make sajda and they say, "Amanna bi Rabbi Musa," that we believe in the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of Musa and the Lord of Harun. So they came back to believe in Musa alayhi salam. And they came back to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same magic that they were putting forth, right, actually came back to be a proof against them. But they accepted guidance. And this is a bushra, a glad tidings of sorts to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that there will always be believers that will sincerely see the truth and they will seek it out and they will come to you. And many times, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُؤَيِّدُ هَذَا الدِّينَ بِالرَّجُلِ الْفَاجِرِ. Many times, Allah gives aid to this religion through a wicked person trying to do it harm. So in the case of Pharaoh and his magicians, they were trying to detract from the da'wah of Musa alayhi salam, but they actually gave the da'wah of Musa alayhi salam more credibility because now the magicians themselves had accepted the religion of Moses. Now they also accepted Islam. So you have a really, really interesting dynamic playing out here. And this is what happened in Mecca. Every time they tried to suppress the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Allah amplified it. And that's what happened with Fir'aun and Musa. And so Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ that such will happen to you. But again, this is now the end of Surah Al-A'raf. And this is the last words to the people of Mecca, the consequences. So Allah mentions the threats of Fir'aun, the threats of the Pharaoh towards his people that believed. And he threatened them with persecution because he didn't have an argument to make anymore. It really was just persecution. The language of the oppressors and the rejectors has always been persecution. It has not been reason. It has not been rational, trying to rationalize anything. It has not been civilized. discussion or discourse, it's always persecution. So the people of Mecca were taking a page out of the book of Fir'aun, right? And we have a pharaoh, and or the pharaoh of this ummah is Abu Jahl, who persecuted the Prophet ﷺ, who tried to suppress the Prophet ﷺ, and who tried to suppress the message. But instead, the message would grow, and even his own household would eventually accept Islam. Just like in the case of Fir'aun, his own household would eventually accept Islam. Right? So just like Asiya comes from the house of Fir'aun, Ikramah, the son of Abu Jahl, would become one of the greatest Muslims. Right? So the children of these people, and the family members of these people, would also see the truth, and there was no way to fully suppress the truth. And that's the message that's being given here, that despite the threats of Fir'aun, the believers escape persecution, despite the threats of the people of the Prophet ﷺ, of Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and so on and so forth, the believers would escape persecution. And so subhanAllah, look at this transition now. Surat Al-A'raf now transitions to Surat Al-Anfal. What is Al-Anfal? Al-Anfal are the believers collecting the spoils of war after the Battle of Badr. After the battle took place between the people of Mecca, the oppressors of Mecca, and the persecuted, the believers. Right? So you immediately have this transition from Surat Al-A'raf, which is this, you know, like the persecution of Pharaoh did not work with Musa Islam and his followers. Your persecution would not work. And these are the consequences. This is where everyone's going to end up. And in this world, right away, you have Surat Al-Anfal. You have the surah about the spoils of war after the Battle of Badr, after Allah made the victory of the believers clear. You know, and it's amazing. Obviously, there's a technical reason to being called Surat Al-Anfal, which is just like later on after the Battle of Uhud, the believers now had to deal with property, and they had to deal with issues in regards to family, and the plethora of widows and orphans and inheritance laws and so on and so forth. Here, they obviously technically now have to deal with the spoils of war in Surat Al-Anfal after the Battle of Badr. But it's also, subhanAllah, it's amazing from a spiritual perspective as well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was just talking about how humiliation does not just come to the oppressors and to the rejectors in the next life, but it comes in this world as well. And so here you have Surat Al-Anfal, right? The surah about the spoils after the Battle of Badr. And the entire part of Surat Al-Anfal that we're going to cover in Juz 9 actually all deals with the Battle of Badr. All of it deals with the Battle of Badr and post-Battle of Badr. So the first entire section, this is the most extensive discourse on the Battle of Badr. So again, the transition is the illustration now of the people of Mecca fighting with the believers that they've chased out to Medina, and the promise of Allah's victory to the believers coming true, and the humiliation to the disbelievers also coming true. So the scene has been set in Surat Al-A'raf of each one taking his way, taking his course. Victory will come now to the believers. Humiliation would come to the oppressors and to the rejectors. And so you have it all playing out in the Battle of Badr. And in terms of the way that the Qur'an is set out, in Surat Ali Imran, you know, we mentioned there's a part that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to victory. He alludes to the victory of Badr. But this is the first full explanation of it. Because in Surat Ali Imran, you're not talking to... the audience is not the people of Mecca, right? In Surat Al-A'raf, you have a different situation altogether. So the audience is partly as well the people of Mecca that rejected. And so this is a full explanation of how the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to them in various ways. So if you start to read through Surat Al-Anfal, it starts off with يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ, that they ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the bounties of war, about the spoils of war. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلِ الْأَنْفَالُ لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, say that the bounties belong to Allah and the Messenger. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so say that the decision concerning the bounties, the spoils of war, belongs to God and His Messenger. So be mindful of your Lord, and amend that which is between you, and obey Allah and His Messenger if you are indeed believers, if you should be believers. Why is Allah mentioning this? Because if you remember, when Allah mentioned a place of victory and a place of success, Allah warns about the things that would destroy a community once a community has attained a level of success. So here in the Battle of Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. That's all in Surah Ali Imran, right? Hold tight to the rope of Allah. Don't be divided. Remember the favor of Allah when He kept your hearts together. So keep your hearts together. Fix the things between you. Don't fight over the bounties of this world, right? Stay upon the things that granted you victory upon the in the first place, and you will find the aid of Allah to come perpetually. So if you stick to the things that earned you the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the help of Allah in Badr, then the help of Allah will continue to come to you so long as you remain on that course. So this is the trend now that's set in Surah Al-Anfal, the spoils of war. And Allah mentions the quality of the believers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. That the character of the believers are those who when God is mentioned, إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ, when Allah is mentioned, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts tremble. And when the verses of Allah are recited to them, it increases them in faith. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And because of that, they place their trust in Allah. So again, the effect of the Qur'an on them. Surah An-Nisa mentioned people who have locks on their hearts so they can't even comprehend the Qur'an. Now we're talking about the believers, that the Qur'an causes them to tremble and it causes them to renew their faith in a way to which, in a way in which they also find it easy to place their trust in Allah. Because once you recognize that this is divine revelation and you know, that it's coming from Allah, so certainly divine help will come from the one who revealed this divine revelation. So they find it easy to place their trust in Allah when they connect themselves to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which really shows you the role that the Qur'an is to play in the lives of the believers, especially in times of adversity and in times of tragedy. And if you also connect this subhanAllah in this juz, the last verse of Surah Al-A'raf, the previous surah, which is in this juz, the last verse of Surah Al-A'raf is a verse of sajda, it's a verse of prostration. And the second verse of the next surah describes the way that the believers react to the revelation. So it forces them in complete awe and humility, and it forces them in prostration and in glorifying their Creator and in glorifying their Lord. So you find that connection here in Surah Al-Anfal. الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Those who establish the prayer, and from what we provided for them, they spend, they give charity. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those are the true believers. لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. They have degrees of high position with their Lord and the forgiveness of their Lord and noble position and a noble position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كَمَا أَخْرَجَكَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَكَارِهُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's just as when your Lord brought you out of your home for the battle of Badr in truth, which indeed a party amongst the believers were unwilling. So Allah mentions that some of the believers, they were unwilling to go out in the battle of Badr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُجَادِلُونَكَ فِي الْحَقِّ بَعْدَمَا تَبَيَّنَ كَأَنَّمَا يُسَاقُونَ إِلَى الْمَوْتِ وَهُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they argued with you concerning the truth after it has been made clear to you, as if they were being driven toward death while they were looking on. Meaning they had such a lack of fear. Now notice here, or they had such a fear of the people of Mecca and such a lack of trust in Allah. Notice here, Allah says they're still believers, but there was weakness in their faith. So Allah says a party of the believers, they were hesitant and they were unwilling. But they still had they still had some level of faith to where they're classed as believers. So you can't say they're not believers altogether. You don't make takfir on them and say they're not Muslims or not believers. But their unwillingness showed a lack of trust that the other believers had that went out in the Battle of Badr. And subhanAllah, this is where we find now Allah mentions the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 7. That you would have these two parties and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give victory to the believers, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He should establish truth and abolish falsehood, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ, even if the criminals despise that. That truth would be established and falsehood would perish, no matter what. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ يَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ when you called upon your Lord seeking help. تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ The Prophet spent the entire night before Badr in Al-Arish, in his tent, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling upon Allah saying, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Remember, Hayyu Ya Qayyum, the ever-living, the ever-sustaining, was illustrated, highlighted really in the first few juz, the first few chapters. So the Prophet ﷺ called upon Allah all night long, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, O ever-living and O ever-sustaining, to give help and victory to the believers as they were facing this onslaught from their persecutors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ And He answered you, أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ That I will reinforce you with 1,000 from the angels. مُرْدِفِين, they're following one another. You will see the angels descend upon you. Jibreel alayhi salam, and the army of the angels descend upon you to help you, to assist you in that regard. Some of you might ask, well, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need to send angels? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in the next couple of verses, Allah mentions that He sent even 3,000 angels. That your army was 1,000, the army against you was 1,000, so Allah sent 3,000. Why 3,000? They outnumbered you 3-1. The believers were 313, the people of Mecca were 1,000. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent 3,000 angels to support them. Someone might ask, well, what's the point of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending angels? Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just give them victory? Why did the angels have to come? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى Allah did not send that except as a glad tidings to you. وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ And so that your hearts could find ease. Imagine as they looked, as the Prophet ﷺ looked and he sees Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel Gabriel and the angels coming to the Battle of Badr. And he tells his side that the angels are fighting alongside you. Go forth, the angels are alongside you. And the believers are seeing the effect of the angels on the battlefield. So subhanAllah, this assured them, وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ That but victory only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exalted in might and all wise. So Allah sent the angels as an answer to their supplication. And to show them, to show them the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps them firm in all of these different ways. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in verse 12, إِذْ يُوحِي رَبُّكَ إِلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired through the angels, أَنِّي مَعَكُمْ فَثَبِّتُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired to the angels, I am with you, so strengthen those who have believed. O angels, go forth and strengthen those who have believed. Stand with them, stay in their heart, stay with them and make firm their hearts by being alongside them and fighting alongside them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that fear would be cast in the hearts of the persecutors and that they would be easily defeated as a result of coming out and facing the believers, with the arrogance that they had and the boastfulness, after running them out of Mecca, they wanted to massacre them, and they even had extra horses and extra camels with wine, so that after the massacre, they could celebrate. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the victory came to those who believed, and humiliation came to those who disbelieved, even as they came out so confident. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, admonishes the believers not to allow themselves to lose trust in God or to inherit the diseases that would cause them to turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lectures the people of Mecca. So it really is befitting here, because most of Medina Quran focuses on the people of Medina. But here in this surah here, you still have a lot of verses that apply to the people of Mecca, even though it's in Madani Qur'an, even though it's in the Qur'an in Medina, it's revealed in Medina, to show them what happened to them, that humiliation that you were promised in Surah Al-A'raf, after you rejected, as you were told not to in Surah Al-An'am, has come to you in Surah Al-Anfal. I know I probably lost you guys there. Allah warned you in Al-An'am, He gave you the blueprints, or He gave you the path to success. In Al-An'am, you chose failure. And so in Surah Al-A'raf, the consequences were mentioned, that you would be humiliated. And see, now you're going to have you're going to have in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning the humiliation, or in this surah, the humiliation that actually comes to them, that manifests itself in the Battle of Badr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to the believers once again, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O you who believe, respond to Allah and respond to the Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. This is powerful stuff. This is really, really powerful stuff. Connection of the three surahs. Surah Al-An'am, Allah says that people who turn away from Allah, though the goodness of this world, or though the blessings of this world are open to them, the luxuries of this world are open to them, because they don't have any barakah, any blessing, those things become curses for them. In Surah Al-A'raf, the next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when there's barakah, when there's blessing, and that which comes from the heavens and the earth, everything is good. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Anfal, answer Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. This message gives you life. This scripture gives you purpose. This guidance is what gives life to your heart. And that's where, no matter what happens to you in regards to this world, no matter what the circumstances that you face in this world are, as a result of upholding that guidance and that belief, so long as you have a sense of purpose, nothing will faze you. Nothing will faze you. Seeing 1,000 people here, when they came to fight... Okay, so I got my son. I told you guys that something crazy would happen in Quran 30 for 30 eventually. We managed to hold him off for 8 days, but he came. So inshallah, I'll let him in the next time. But anyway, I lost my train of thought. So long as you stick with Allah and you have a sense of purpose, nothing fazes you. The sight of 1,000 people coming to wipe you out does not faze you. The sight of the Battle of Badr does not faze you. The sight of a Donald Trump does not faze you. The sight of anything does not faze you, because you know that you have a sense of purpose, and you know that you've been called to that which gives you life. So that gives you the best of this world and the best of the next. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that sense of purpose and to grant us life through that. Alhamdulillah, we were able to catch up now. So tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, we'll go to juz 10, and hopefully no more interruptions, inshallah ta'ala. Hopefully from now on until the end, we'll always be consistent around this time, 4 p.m. Eastern, inshallah ta'ala, barring any events that would cause the time to change. If I could encourage you guys, inshallah, it's still early enough, inshallah ta'ala, to get other people involved in this program. I'm personally enjoying putting together this program, inshallah ta'ala. So if I can encourage you guys to get other people involved, inshallah, to take notes, to share notes, inshallah ta'ala, make your own notes. This will give you sort of a guide to understanding the flow of the Qur'an even outside of Ramadan, inshallah. So it's not just limited to Ramadan, even outside of Ramadan. To be able to see it all together, to see the Qur'an, the way that it flows, its perfect structure. So we ask Allah to make us people of Qur'an. Jazakallahu khairan for tuning in. See you all tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.